Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vivo Life. If you're after plant-based supplements that are also sustainable and ethical, I recommend Vivo Life. They make all of their products in their renewable energy-powered factory in Glastonbury here in the UK, and they are a certified carbon-neutral company, planting one tree for every single order they receive. Now, many health professionals on this podcast have taught me that a healthy diet is the most important thing, but sometimes the right supplements can fill in the gaps that our diets are missing. I take their vitamin D3, omega-3 and B12 daily as they keep my immune system in check and hit the key nutrients that can be hard to get when following a plant-based diet. So if you're looking for natural plant-based supplements that can help you feeling energized and healthy, then head over to vivolife.co.uk and use the discount code TALKINGTASTEBUDS to get 10% off your first purchase. Thanks very much to Vivo Life. Welcome back to Talking Taste Buds Season 6. I'm Venetia Lamanna, and in this series I chat to inspiring thinkers and leaders who encourage people like you and me to live a conscious and full life. Kenny Ethan Jones is an activist and model. He is perhaps best known for his lead role in Pink Parcel's I'm On campaign, in which he made history by being the first trans man to front a period campaign. Kenny's work focuses on menstruation, body politics, mental health, and intimacy. I was absolutely delighted when he agreed to being on the show, as I am so inspired by his work, and I think so many of you will really appreciate hearing about his life and activism. In the conversation, we discussed jacket potatoes, online activism during the pandemic, inclusivity in the media, internal periods, healthcare for trans people, sex education, long distance relationships, and banoffee pie. I've left lots of useful links in the show notes, including a link to a petition to protect young transgender individuals, which just takes a minute to sign, so do check those out. Right then, on with the show. Kenny, hello, welcome to Talking Taste Buds.
Thank you, lovely to be here.
So let us start as we always do. What did you have for breakfast?
I had a jacket potato. That's quite a heavy breakfast, but I don't know, just because like, because I'm at home so much, I just feel like, I don't know, starting my day with potato just makes sense. It's quite a heavy substance to eat, but it just keeps you rolling throughout the day, so.
Did you have it plain, or was there anything in it?
No. So jacket potatoes always come with beans and cheese. That's throughout. And then I have if I had salad in the house, I did today. So I had a side portion of salad. That's like, I love jacket potatoes, always had, since a kid. It was the only thing I ate throughout secondary school. So I have a very fond loving for jacket potatoes with beans and cheese.
You're the first jacket potato breakfast I've ever had in 6 seasons, so thank you for that.
Just eat what I want to be honest.
Yeah, that's great. That's how it should be. That's absolutely how it should be. So let's actually rewind the clocks a little bit. Can you tell us about where you were born and whether or not you have any strong memories of food during that time?
So I was born and raised in London. I've lived in the same area my entire life, basically, Northwest London. In terms of food that comes to mind, I was obsessed and still am obsessed with cabbage. Like, I love cabbage. Like, I don't know what it is. It's just great. And it's one particular cabbage. It's the medley, like green cabbage from Marks and Spencer's. Like, as a child, if you asked me, do I want Haribo's or cabbage? I would say cabbage, hands down. Everyone thought I was so weird for it, but I don't know. I just absolutely loved cabbage.
So healthy.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't even know where it comes from. It's just, yeah. So I have that. The other kind of memory, do you know, it was such a fun question. When I seen it, I was like, this is so great. So the other one is cheeseburgers from McDonald's, right? Because I was what I would call a fake vegetarian at the time. And I would take the meat out and just have the bun and ask for cheese and lettuce instead, but bring the bun home to give to my dog. Because I wouldn't eat the meat.
Oh.
But all of my friends would be like, why are you ordering a cheeseburger, Kenny, if you're not going to eat like the meat? And I'd be like, no, I'm going to give it to my dog. But then everyone called me a fake vegetarian on the basis that meat was obviously in the bun.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was a fun period.
You know what? That meat didn't go to waste.
Yeah, no, just gave it to my dog. He loved it. So I was like, and plus it's a pound and they'll give me the cheese for free. So I was like, there's no, you know, I'm sorry, they'll give me the lettuce for free. So I was like, it makes sense. And the other food, which is, again, a love of mine, is steak. So again, at this point in my life, I was a vegetarian and I started to get pigmentation. So my skin started to like plodge with white spots. And it was because I wasn't eating enough like nutritious food, basically. I never ate fish, so I wasn't substituting it in any way. And so for years, I walked around telling everyone I was a vegetarian, right? Turns out, actually, my mum had been giving me steak for about 3 years and I didn't know it was steak. So you know how you make egg and soldiers? So you make the bread and you dip it in egg. My mum did that with steak and told me it was fake meat.
What?
Yeah, so I ate steak for 3 years, not realizing it was steak. And then, so I didn't realize until one of my friends came around once and like stole one from me. He was like, Kenny, this is meat. I was like, no, it's not, it's fake. And so obviously my mum was like, yeah, I've been feeding you steak this entire time.
Oh my God.
My childhood was a lie, basically.
Gosh, that is quite harrowing.
I know. And it was like, at the time, so when I realized my mum had already passed, so I couldn't even say anything. I couldn't even cuss. Because the moment had gone. But I was so pissed off about it. I was like, so I was just out here believing I was a full-fledged vegetarian. No. Eating steak for years.
And of all the things as well, like it's not just like, I don't know, a bit of tuna or something. Yeah. Like it's heavy. It's heavy. Yeah. Heavy meat.
It's because she knew, like I obviously knew what chicken tasted like, but I never really experienced steak. So she had to give me something which I didn't know. So obviously, if you've never tried anything, you don't kind of know. I thought, oh, this is great. This tastes great. It tastes like meat. But I didn't, you know, I didn't think my mom would lie to me.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, so, and now I love steak.
Just and now much. You love steak. You come full circle.
Yeah, love steak. Absolutely love steak.
What an incredible story. Now, you are someone who has achieved so much and you're an inspiration to so many people. Navigating 2020 and these times is pretty challenging. How has this year been for you so far, and how has the pandemic been for you as well, and how are you approaching your activism during this time too, because things have shifted so much?
I haven't been doing much activism. That's kind of what I've resorted to, because I don't know, I have this belief, the strong belief, that forced content is bad content. And when we went into quarantine, I just didn't have that motivation that I had normally from, I think a lot of my motivation comes from engaging with people, seeing the wrongs in the world and like wanting to change it. But I'm very much a person that gains energy from other people. So being in my house surrounded by myself only, you know, I just lacked motivation. So I just kind of said that I'm not going to force any content and I'm going to be very honest with how I'm feeling. So all of the posts that I have done through quarantine have been more just acknowledging how I'm feeling and just saying to other people that it's okay if you feel like this, or it's okay, you know, however you're navigating this time, there's no right or wrong way. I think within the first week or 2 weeks, everybody was like trying to, you know, act like nothing was going on, but trying to run through things. Like everyone was like, I'm still working. I'm still getting up at 9 o'clock in the morning. They were still doing their daily routines. I'm just sat there like, this isn't going to last forever. Like it's not possible. There's too much change right now to act like you can't continue activism and not be sensitive at the time. It doesn't feel authentic. So I think the one good thing out of this period is that I've spent a lot of time looking inwards and actually educating myself. I've bought 13 books in the last 2 weeks. Like, it's a lot of books, and I'm reading a lot more and, you know, doing lots of other creative projects for myself. And it's just been nice to have time for myself, because I give so much away to companies when I work with them, whatever else, and go into events and, you know, trying to meet people, keep a buzz about my name. Whereas this kind of period, I'm doing the exact opposite. And I'm like, okay, let's educate myself so that when we go back into the real world, quote unquote, I'm more educated. I can talk about more things. But everybody has a different approach. I've seen people pick up new hobbies. You know, like my friend, she keeps like going on bike rides and like doing her own chronicles. And I think that's great. And I love it. And I think that however you're getting through this time, just, you know, there's no right or wrong way. It's just whatever works.
Have you started making sourdough or anything like that?
So I did do, so I picked a really weird challenge. I didn't want it to be work because I don't think that's a good way to go into this. I said, I want it to be fun. I want it to be something that's really kind of in tune with who I am. So I said that basically I wanted to be able to do a handstand, a freehold handstand. That was like my goal. And I want to be able to hold it for 10 seconds. So that's my goal of quarantine. If I can achieve that, I am a happy man. So currently I'm up to 5 seconds.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I no longer need the wall of support. So I'm getting there. Day by day, getting there.
Nice. I love that. Yeah, I feel like we've had very similar experiences of quarantine. Like, I have felt like I'm always someone who doesn't post online unless I really am feel inspired and encouraged to. Like, I feel like I have that, like, you know, when you get that buzz in you and you're like, I need to say something. So I've always been like that. But yeah, I've been really using this time to like really educate myself and read as much as I can. But some days I just don't get out of bed. Like this week on Wednesday, I didn't leave the house until 6 p.m. and I literally walked for 2 minutes, and that was, I think I took 500 steps for the entire day.
Fair. But do you know what I mean? I think we need to listen to our bodies. Like, there's no point trying to fake the mood that we're in or fake that this is an okay time. Like, it's fine, just accept it, just sit with it. I hate the kind of idea of like pushing positivity. Like, you're meant to feel sad. Like, sit in it, feel it. Like, if you're unmotivated, sit in it, it's fine. Life is a cycle, and I think when we deny those cycles, like, it's not helpful at all. I binge watched Netflix the other week for about, I think it was like 13 hours, because I became obsessed with a series. And I didn't feel bad about it. I was like, do you know what? That's what I needed.
What was the series? Do you mind me asking?
Money Heist.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's very intense.
This year has also been an especially difficult time for the LGBTQIA+ community. And this hasn't been made any easier by MP Liz Truss's statement on the Gender Recognition Act recently. Her comments on under 18s were particularly awful and really, really sad and made me feel really sad. What would be your message to younger LGBTQIA+ people right now?
Yeah, I mean, when I seen that, I felt sad. I felt like the younger me was attacked, especially around the idea of hormone blockers, because I went on hormone blockers for 2 years, and that for me, I feel like made such a big difference with my transition and the way that I look, because those 2 years of putting my body, my puberty on pause, you know, that's a really big difference, especially at that age. I was 16 to 18, was such a big part of my development as a human. So I don't know what I would look like today without those blockers. I might look less masculine, and I don't think I would appreciate that. So people who aren't trans making decisions on trans bodies, it's never sat well with me. They're not in the right place to make that kind of decision. But the one thing I will say for like younger trans kids that, you know, feel disheartened by that information is that it will be met with more activism. Like, nobody is going to sit around and allow that to happen. Like, I definitely won't. Like, I don't want to, the thing is, I don't worry about these things. I know it's all speculative and okay, it does give a kind of clue to what is coming. But I think until the Gender Recognition Act actually comes out, for me, it's like, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at it until I basically have to fight against it, because I don't want to be sitting in the what ifs can happen. I don't feel like that's a good way to live. Activism, it will be met with heavy activism. Everyone will be like, no, this is not the right decision. You can't be doing this. Like, they need autonomy. It's their body. I know it's hard to say, but don't necessarily worry about it, or just don't think about it too much. And when it comes to that time, and if it is a bad decision, then I'm ready on the sidelines. Like, let's go, because I wouldn't be okay with that decision, you know, and many other activists won't.
Absolutely. I just feel like, why don't we have trust in younger people? Like, why do we not trust them? You know who you are when you're young, and I don't know why we're not trusting young people with that so much. I don't know why we suddenly have this, or we have this mistrust for young people.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. I don't know where it stems from. I just think that it's an adult thing, isn't it? Like, we're right, kids are wrong. You know, if I go back to my earlier days, I knew I was trans, you know, I knew. I didn't say, no, I was trans, because I didn't know that word even existed, but I knew I wanted to be a boy, end of story. Like, I knew intrinsically, like, that was who I was. It just wasn't that way to the world. And nothing that anybody could say would have swayed that from me. It was just who I was. And so to think that basically, you know, someone is turning around and saying, no, you are wrong in how you feel, just seems silly. And then instead, like, not even believing, but actually now you're trying to control their bodies instead because you don't believe them. That's ridiculous. It's not okay.
What are some of the aspects of living in the UK that you think have got better or worse for trans, non-binary and intersex youth since you were a teenager? Because you're 26. You just turned 26, didn't you?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Entering my late 20s.
Oi, oi. These are the good years, I'm telling you.
I'll take your word for it. I think the one thing I would say is that's gotten better is representation. 100%. Like, I see a lot more trans and non-binary people than I ever did growing up. A lot of what I've seen growing up was trans women. I didn't really see trans men. Non-binary people didn't even exist to me as a concept. No idea what that was. I would say that. I say what's gotten worse is the conversation around trans people, that people believe that they can debate our existence. It's been the number one thing that I've seen, because obviously, you know, with visibility comes the fight for rights. And then with the fight for rights comes someone who opposes that decision. And then that's caused all of this conversation, like, and clickbait titles, you know, even myself in certain press, you know, they're titles that I'm like, you know, you're just clicking these, you're just writing these as clickbait. So yeah, I think that's probably the worst and best that's happened that I've seen since growing up.
Could you tell me a little bit about being a part of Pink Parcels I'm On campaign? It was so great to see you in that. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, sure. So that was in March of 2018. They sold, the name of the company was Pink Parcel, and they sold subscription boxes. So they contacted my modeling agency and they said they want to do, you know, a peer campaign. And when I got the email, I was convinced that it was the wrong email they sent it to. I was like, this isn't for me. Why do they want me to be involved in a peer campaign? But basically the email stated that, you know, they wanted to represent that it wasn't just women who bleed. And I sat there with it for a minute and I was like, this is so true. Like, I'd never seen it in that concept, but like, it was my lived experience. And that's what I was currently going through. I had to sit on that for a while, or whether or not I should do that, because I didn't really understand the power of media at that point. I traded stocks and currencies. I worked from home. I basically lived in a box. Like, I didn't understand media as a whole. So I didn't kind of know what to expect from that campaign. And I had done smaller campaigns before because I'd still been a model, but nothing like this. My heart told me to do it. My mind said no, because it was like my heart wanted, you know, I knew that trans men would be able to relate to it. And then my mind was like, you know, you're going to be opening yourself to a lot of negative comments. And are you ready to deal with that? So I had to think about my mental health. But ultimately, I decided that I think the decision is I should do it. So I did that campaign and it just went everywhere. I had no idea what was happening or how to manage it or anything else. That kind of like kickstarted everything. That's exactly why I am where I am today, because of that campaign. I didn't wake up one day and say, I want to be a champion for periods. I think that people believe that's how it was. It wasn't, it was just, I fell into it. And then the more I started to do things, the more I was like, I seen the need for the conversation, because it lacked in everywhere. Like, whenever I'd seen, you know, campaigns or anything, it was just referencing to women. And again, it wasn't even really diverse or inclusive in any way. I was like, this needs to change. Like, I can't now. You know, once you've seen something, you kind of can't unsee it. It was that moment of, I can't step back now. So I just said to myself, I'll keep going. And if it ever gets to a point where it's too much, then I'll stop. But if I'm comfortable and I can do it and I can persist through, let's keep going. And that's kind of been my motto ever since. And now we're 2 years on and, you know, I'm doing lots of amazing things and lots of things outside of periods.
Since those 2 years have passed, do you think the understanding within the media has developed and changed somewhat? Like, are you encouraged by any change that you've seen, or do you think not enough has changed?
I think we're at a base level of change, like, you know, like always removing the feminine label and also just like the language, like companies are being more inclusive to that. But I think actual understanding of the dysphoria that trans men face, the access to products, the effect that it has on our mental health is something that's really just not seen. It's kind of just, it's a very, I don't know how to describe it, but it just seems very, it's not that it's fake. It's just not all what it is. It's just a very basic understanding of what it is. It's kind of like, oh yeah, trans men have periods. Great, cool. We acknowledge that. Let's use inclusive language. But there's no understanding of what it is to be a trans man and go through a period. So I feel like that's very much lacking. But I think that we need to start somewhere and that this is a good start.
You speak really openly about it, or you have spoken really openly about it on Instagram, and you're so honest, which is, as a reader and as a viewer, like, really wonderful to read and really insightful. And you've also started, you're kind of coining the term internal period, right? Can you tell us about that too?
So internal periods was an idea that I came up with because, so I've been on testosterone for 8 years now, and into my fifth year, I started to have problems with my period. So they completely disappeared. Nobody didn't know nothing. It was fine, 5 years. And then suddenly I was starting to get spotting and like period pains. And it was no, like, obviously I hadn't had a period in 5 years. And to my understanding, testosterone should stop that. I still have my womb and everything. So, the function could still happen, but essentially testosterone should stop that. So when I started to get these pains, I didn't automatically diagnose them to be period pains because I was like, this shouldn't be happening. And it hasn't happened for 5 years. But then as I went on, I started to get like really bad period pains and I started to get spotting again. And that's kind of been the case now. So like, it's really irregular. Sometimes I'll have a full blown period, but it'll happen like every 3 months and there's no routine to them. I can't put my hands on when it's going to happen or anything. So it's quite difficult to manage. So that post that you're referring to in terms of like internal periods was the one where I said, this is the first time in 7 years, I think 11 months, I've had a period. And it was a full blown kind of pre-T period. And it was just that shock of like, wow, this can still happen. Because again, in the medical field, it's not something that they tell you about. You go on testosterone and you assume that period stopped, end of. So when it happened, I thought something was really wrong or my levels were bad, but I was taking testosterone in the same way in which I always should have. So yeah, internal periods was kind of that discussion of saying that trans men still can experience periods while being on testosterone.
In so many interviews that I've seen you do, I'm always struck by the sense that like you just weren't, it feels like you weren't given enough information. Where is that information? Like surely that needs to be more readily available. And is that happening within the medical world or not enough still?
I feel like it's not enough. Like I feel like everything else around trans, like transness as a whole, is moving forward apart from the medical field. Like even like when it comes to surgeries, I don't feel like they've evolved. I feel like surgeons have gotten better at doing them, but there's no change to the procedures themselves. So medical field as a whole, I just feel have put the pause on trans people. I just feel like it's not seen as important. Like even when I was trying to do research into like cancer and the increase of that or the potential increase of me potentially having cancer because of my testosterone levels, cancer research, which is one of the biggest charities that I know that do research into cancer, basically turn around and say that they don't know on their website. Yeah. And even when you try to Google and do research, like the only way that you can find like particular, I don't know, like research papers is if, someone sends you those papers, they're not searchable. So it's like, to an extent, I do believe that the information does exist, but it's just not accessible. And it's not put in words that somebody who hasn't studied those things would understand. Like I spent about 20 minutes on some of those just trying to understand the different terminologies that they were using, because I, as somebody who's not really in the science world or anything, like a doctored medical field, had no idea, what they were talking about. So I had to, it's really frustrating to think that, everything else is kind of moving forward or kind of, being discussed, whether or not it's back and forth or whatever, it's being discussed and medical, which just kind of stands still.
Yeah, that's super frustrating because we need people to be healthy. We need everyone to be healthy and feel safe and secure.
Yeah, exactly. It's like health is just, it's us. It's like, we need that. But it's something that it's completely lacking. I don't understand how everything else seems to move forward and health is on a standstill. I've never understood it, to be honest. But that's why I think a lot of my kind of activism at the moment has moved towards that space. Like I'm trying to work with more cancer charities and more charities that work with health, basically in whatever capacity that be. Like Bloody Good Period, I'm ambassador for them. And I try to open up the conversation around trans men experiencing periods in hopes that, people will just see that trans men experience in periods and then we might talk more about health. Like it might just be a thing that naturally occurs. Yeah, I guess it's when it comes down to funding and governments don't necessarily want to fund into trans healthcare.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Moving on slightly to the recent video that you posted on Instagram. You did a Q&A about sex and dating.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it and I thought it was a great video and I'd love to see more because I noticed that you haven't done that many. I'd love to see more. Me personally, I'm sure it's like the rest of everyone else who follows you too. But do you think there's enough in the way of great inclusive sex education online and in the media in general? Because I know there's like a lot of podcasts that are kind of, I feel like that are getting to one, to specific like groups of people, but I mean kind of like wider media. And what are you planning on bringing to that conversation?
Well, it's a difficult one. I feel like with the kind of sex industry as a whole, in terms of, let's talk about like more sex education. You know, I'm seeing a lot more platforms do great things and podcasts, and they are inclusive of trans people and they're very good with language. And I love that, but it's like, they're not, you know, trans men or trans women aren't really talking about sex on these podcasts, really and truly. And I get it, it's because it's so dysphoric for some people to talk about, you know, it's, we've kind of been believed that our bodies are shameful, so we don't necessarily want to talk about them. So it's difficult. And the reason to why I decided to do that, that particular video, is because I started to get a lot of questions in my DMs about sex, you know, particularly from partners that was with trans people. And they'd be like, oh, my boyfriend's a trans man, he's pre-op, I'm finding it really difficult to have sex with him because he just feels very uncomfortable anytime. Do you have any tips? And it was like a similar kind of question coming over and over again. I was like, why is this happening? You know? So then I thought, okay, let me do some research into the channels in which, you know, I know of that talk about sex, kind of the popular podcasts that I've been on and things like that. And I was like, there really isn't much, like, not from the perspective of a trans person. So I said, you know what? I don't really embarrass easily. I don't really care about talking about sex. Like, why not? So I just made a video basically talking about my mini penis and humping the camera, and it was great. And I loved it. And, you know, but the thing is, when you start to dive into doing content around sex, you have to really, this is my issue with it. I would love to do it, but I have to think about how it affects my brand. So, Okay, let me, if I start to talk about sex more, that might turn away potential brands that don't necessarily like sexual content. That's okay. Number one thing. Then I have to think about how Instagram rates that content. And we all know that Instagram does not favor sexual content in any way, shape, or form, whether it is educational or not. They just don't like it. You will get shadow banned, end of story. So I have to think that then, let's say I get shadow banned, that then affects my income because I can't do as many ads for, say, on Instagram. So it's like, as much as I would love to can sit there and just talk about sex all day, it has to be done in a very, very kind of like strategic way that I basically get around Instagram's algorithm. It also has to be PG enough so that it doesn't turn away brands that want to work with me. That video, although it was 7 minutes, originally was 30. I had to cut it down because I was like, some of this is too explicit. Some of it's, the language isn't correct, or, you know, I wasn't being too inclusive of other people and I was just talking from my perspective. And I was like, no, I want this to be about everybody. I want everyone to relate to trans or not, because it can, you know, being trans essentially in terms of like, when we talk about sex, anybody with body issues could relate to that in a way. Not as, it's not the same thing, but they can relate. So I wanted it to be inclusive in that way. And I also wanted to make sure that I wasn't just referring to sex as in just one, two people. I wanted to make sure that I was referring to sex as in multiple people having sex also. So it was like all of those things that I had to take into consideration. I also had to make sure that it was subtitled because I want to be inclusive to those who are hard of hearing or deaf, whichever classification is better for them. That was a tester to see basically A, how it would land with my audience and the brands that I'd work with, and B, like how, you know, how long is it going to take me to put this content together and is it worth it? So there's lots to take into consideration when you want to talk about sex basically.
Yeah, so much to consider. How do you find Instagram generally. I can find it super overwhelming. Like, I don't go on it at all on weekends. And that's a decision I've had to make for my mental health, because 7 days a week of it was just too much. 5 days a week is plenty. I've personally learned so much from it, not only from the people I follow, but also from the people who follow me. How have you found it as a platform to navigate, and how are you feeling about it at the moment?
I have a love-hate relationship with Instagram. But it's like what you said. I think that the most important thing when it comes to social media is boundaries. Because time, you know, I remember just before we went into quarantine, you know, my page was growing at a rapid pace, and I was spending 6 hours a day on Instagram on the basis that I tried to respond to everybody, that I still wanted to post, that I still wanted to like other people's content. Just doing kind of, I call it maintenance on Instagram, was so time consuming. And it was like, okay, cool. 6 hours a day is a job. Bear in mind, I don't get paid to be on Instagram. So it's like, as much as I want to give to people, I also need to think, what's the best, you know, is this good for my mental health? Does this benefit my career? You have to weigh that up consistently. Ultimately, what I've always wanted my Instagram to be, and it always will be, is a place in which I am truly myself, a place in which I will always talk authentically, in a place that I'm always thoughtful to other people. So I try to be as inclusive as possible as often as I can, because I don't want anybody to feel excluded. I think as well, once you start to progress on Instagram, people start to nitpick at you for the things that you don't do. So as much as I could be great, I could be inclusive, it's like, if I don't mention one community, it's seen as if I'm either not educated or, you know, I'm not inclusive. And it's not the case. It's just, it's consistently, it's hard to remember to do everything every single time. And that's the part I kind of dislike about Instagram. It's the nitpicking. It's also the times in which, you know, you have trolls that just come onto your page, basically just to be transphobic. I 100% will always say this. I am up for healthy debate and conversation. Even if it's around biology, which doesn't really favor trans people, I will sit there and I'll talk to you about it. And there's been conversations that I've had with people, random people on Instagram, where, you know, the conversation has been quite heated. And they've said, well, I just believe that biology defines your sex and gender. And I said, okay. And that was it. And he said, thank you. Like, I feel like I had a great conversation. He left with his opinion, I left with mine. And I always want my page to be that. It's my belief or the highway. I get it. We all have different opinions. We were all grown up in different ways. And that's why we believe certain things and others don't. I get it. So yeah, navigating Instagram can be quite difficult. In terms of how I feel about it at the moment, I think that I've gotten to the point where I'm not posting unless I want to. B, I want to use this time to work with more charities, because I think that's important. I'm seeing a lot of charities basically not having enough funding to continue. And I would hate to think that so many good charities are closing down on the basis that they just basically can't get funding. And then I think the other thing that I just want to do is just show a side of me that I don't normally show. So experimenting with content, aka the video about sex and dating. And just put like nice things in the world, like pictures of me and my girlfriend, people love her. So it's like things like that, people that I want it to be a feel good kind of page at the moment, rather than quite like attackive, aggressive activism, I would say. Although I wouldn't classify it as that. For the most part, I feel like activism seems quite harsh at the moment.
Yeah, so. I can relate to that. I did a post last Friday for an article that I wrote, and it was very like, the article I wrote was really balanced, but like the post, because you got to play for the algorithm, was like very like activist-y. For 6 days, the 6 days up until today, I've literally been posting like lovely pictures of Blossom, pictures of like what I've been, like recipes of what I've been eating for lunch, just like soft content.
But it's true, you have to think about it, because it's like, if you don't, I feel like any activism right now comes across quite harsh.
Yeah, it does. It's really a tough time to navigate it,
Unless you really tailor it around the kind of period and talk about corona within it, it's really hard. Like, I don't feel like I could just make a post about, I don't know, like body politics today and feel okay with it, because I just feel like it's too harsh. It's not playing into the times. Lots of people are having rapid different feels of emotions right now. And also, I just kind of feel like it's a waste of content. I can just wait till this period's over and, you know, run with it, rather than try to force content in a time which just isn't right.
Can we talk about your experience as a model, please? You've done some really cool things, and I'd love to hear about your experience of it and how you got into it and some of your favorite moments and your highlights.
All right, you might have to remind me of some of those questions. I'm terrible remembering all things at the same time.
Basically, we're talking about you being a model.
Okay, so we'll start at the beginning. There's not much to it. But basically, I got signed 8 years ago to an agency. I didn't want to be a model. I just wanted the confidence that models had, the lifestyle that models had. It just seemed so great. I just loved the idea of it. I also wanted a way to try to gain confidence. I didn't have confidence at that time. No self-confidence. So basically, I thought it was a good idea to throw myself in front of the camera and basically force myself to grow. It doesn't work like that, by the way. But it was nice to think that it does for a moment. So yeah, signed this modeling contract and, you know, just did little campaigns here and there, little things. Lots of extra work. Was on EastEnders, Hollyoaks, those things like that. It was cool. Yeah, I loved it.
Oh my gosh, so cool.
So just little things like that. Met different people. It was just nice. It was just a nice way to just get out of my environment.
So it was the same time that you were doing stocks and share stuff?
Yeah. So this is all crossed over. Kind of stocks and trading was my 9-to-5. And then modeling was just something that if it came and I got a booking, I would do it. The kind of bigger campaign, the first kind of big campaign I did before Pink Parcels I'm On campaign was a campaign with Sky. And it was a pride campaign. And it was basically, it took little chunks of people's faces and put it together and saying that, you know, we're all the same, basically. And I would see it because it was on the trains and I would see it and I'd be like, that smile's mine. Like, and I loved the idea that I was on something. I don't know. It just meant something to see myself represented, basically. And I loved that. And I said, I want to continue this. So modeled for a while, you know, then did the Pink Parcel campaign. And then it just blew up and I became more demanded as a model. And then I signed to a new agency and they're a great agency. Supar are like probably one of the top 20 agencies in the UK. So I was excited to sign that contract. I was like, yes, now I'm officially a model. Like, I've made it. And then I hit a lot of brick walls with modeling, actually. And I started to realize that actually a lot of my modeling is circled around my activism, because when we see male models, we kind of see chiseled jaw, 6 foot plus, you know, tend to be quite slim, mostly white. And I am none of those things. I have a decent jawline. I'm 5'6". So when I go to castings, the boys would be like 6 foot and it'd just be my short 5'5" self in a lineup of boys that are 6 foot. It became very obvious that it was going to be hard for me to be a great model. So then I just decided, actually, as much as I wanted to just be a model, I thought that it was more important to be a model with a cause. So that's what I call it modeling with a cause. And that's kind of like activism. So I basically said to my agency, hey, I want to do modeling that basically is more focused around who I am and what I represent. And then that kind of just bounced off with my activism. So I found a nice way of making it work. But I think probably what will happen in this conversation is that lots of trans guys will want to know how to become a trans model, like, or become a model. And the truth of the reality is you don't hit the criteria for the most part. Most trans men don't. We're just short by genetics. You know, we don't necessarily have all the chiseled jaw, and that's okay. But I think then it's about tailoring what you want to do and what you want to work with. I wouldn't necessarily classify myself as a model anymore, if I'm honest. I would say I'm an activist that happens to model, because you need modeling and you need photos to go along with your activism. But it's taken me God knows how many years to get to that point. So
that's good to know before I record the intro to this podcast.
No. You can still turn around and say model and activist. For the most part, I would. But I would say my life is shifting to another direction. It's more like writer, actor now. But we all start somewhere. And modeling was a great way of me just getting comfortable in front of the camera. So I forever grateful for that journey of just self-realization.
We can absolutely cut this out of the show afterwards, but I just wanted to bring it up with you because my heart has been going out to you. I know you're in a distanced relationship at the moment just because of the time that we're in. And I was in a long distance relationship with my now husband and we didn't see each other for like 10 weeks at one point. And it was so fucking hard. So my heart like goes out to you at the moment, because I know I posted about it the other day and I had so many people message me being like, oh my God, like, thank you, because this is the worst.
100%. I'm open to talk about this. Megan actually made a post about it, basically saying that she doesn't know how to deal with this time. One of the big shifts that's happened in our relationship, and I feel like it's for every relationship, is that you've basically just taken all the physical out. You've just gone, right, there's two aspects to your relationship. There's communication and there's physical, and you've just ripped straight through physical. And for us, like, our love language is very physical. We also communicate very well. We've always been good at that. But to just now rely on that became difficult, because some days, you know, some days I'm just not in a good mood and I don't necessarily feel like talking. And those were the days that we could just sit around and watch a movie, you know, but we don't necessarily have those options anymore. So it's been very, very difficult, and every day feels different. And I think the one thing that's kind of like helped us is not to pretend that everything is normal, but try to do things like as normal as possible. So say, let's go on a date. So I'll message her or send her a video saying, babe, can we go on a date, and set a time, and like, I'll order food and she'll make food, you know, just things like that. And just like cute things. Like I sent her my t-shirt yesterday, which she got this morning. It's just so she, like, she can smell me kind of thing. It's been hard. We've like, had a lot more arguments, and most of the time just on bullshit. Nothing that's actually fundamentally wrong, just kind of like frustration.
Yeah, I remember that so well.
Exactly. So
like picking fights for no reason, just to like, because you're so annoyed, and you're like, I can't be annoyed at anything else, so I'm gonna be annoyed at you.
Just nitpicking at anything. And I think, yeah, like loads of couples must be struggling with that now, and you've just got to navigate in whatever way you can. You know, one of the things that, well, me and Megan did before this anyways, is what we classify as a me day. So whenever I wasn't in a good place mentally, I'd say, hey babe, not feeling too good today, I need a me day. She wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the day. And that was just a way of like creating, you know, like obviously now communicating that she knows that I'm not in the best mood. So rather than her coming to the conversation with so much energy and me being like, I have nothing to give, we've already established that. So it's kind of like, we know where each other's at. So it's kind of, this time as well has forced us to communicate better, because we need to be aligned with one another and how we're feeling. And sometimes, you know, just being around someone, you can tell by their body language and things like that. But obviously when you take all that out of the way, you don't know. So every day kind of just felt like guessing how the other person was for the most part. And that forced us to build better communication. But I think on the other, like opposite end of the spectrum, for some couples that don't have good communication, this must be so much harder. It's basically like rebuilding your relationship. Really, that's what it feels like. It just was like rebuilding or building something new.
It's so weird. I still have like, because we had to say goodbye so much because my husband's American, so he was flying back to America. The thought of it brings back trauma, because it's so traumatic, like saying goodbye to the person you love the most in the world and not necessarily knowing when you're going to see them again. But it's not forever. And I have to say, like, it definitely did make us stronger, and it does improve your communication. And also it puts everything into perspective. Like, you realize how much that person means to you.
Yeah. Definitely, 100%. Like, our situation was quite unfortunate because I didn't see Megan, I think, 2 weeks before we even went into lockdown, just because our schedules kept clashing. And obviously, she's a carer for her sister. We kind of already know that even when everything kind of goes back to normal, she'll probably still have to stay at home and look after her sister until maybe there's a vaccine. She's going to be the last person, basically, or people that have disabilities or are high risk are going to be the last people to kind of come out of this quarantine period. And as a carer for somebody who has a disability, that means that she's going to be the last person to come out of this. So when all this lockdown is finished, it may be that we still don't see each other for months until, you know, there's a way to navigate this or there's a vaccine. So it's really hard for me. I think that's the one thing I'm struggling with, because it's kind of like, in my mind, I built this day up of, oh, it'll probably be 3 months. But then it's like, how longer does that mean then till I see Megan? And that, you know, that I cried about it. I'm not even gonna lie. I was very upset because, you know, she is the love of my life, hands down. I love that woman. And I've never felt so strongly in a relationship. And I just felt like we were getting to a good part. We've established everything. We've become public. Like, our families had, like, we've met each other. It just felt great. And it just felt like it was taken away. And yeah, it's difficult. And I feel sorry for a lot of people. It's not just me. You know, it's a lot of people. It's everybody who's in a relationship, or not even a relationship, but just attached to somebody emotionally even. Yeah, it's, I don't even know what to say about it. It just kind of feels like heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. It's like, and it's so, you can apply it to everything. You're so right, like friendship, family, everything. I just try not to, because I'm a planner, as so many of us are. I like to know what I'm doing all the time, and I'm not able to do that at the moment. And the moments I find myself thinking, but how long is it going to be? I'm like, no, do not have that thought. Move it to the back of your mind.
that's the right way, because I think then you're building this expectation. And then if that expectation doesn't come reality, you're going to put yourself in a worse position. So I definitely agree that I'm kind of similar in that way to you of, yeah, let's create, like, let me plan my entire year, my life even. Let's just make this work. And so, yeah, whenever it's failed previously, I've been so upset. So I'm like, we can have all these assumptions, Kenny, but we're not agreeing to anything. We're just kind of taking it day by day, obviously hoping that this is short as possible. But essentially, like, we just have to get through this, Kenny. Like, we just have to pull through in whatever way and however we can, you know, keep ourselves safe, keep others safe, remind myself consistently why this is important, why we're all actually staying indoors. I think the clap for the NHS at 8 p.m. on Thursday has been a nice reminder for that for me. It's just like, you know, kind of like a bell in my head, like, this is why we're doing this. This is important. This is going to change so many people's lives. Yeah, and holding on to that and just taking it day by day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can I distract you with a quick fire round?
Okay, go ahead.
Quick fire with Kenny. Breakfast, lunch or dinner?
Lunch.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Go for a run or go to the gym?
Go for a run.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Toast or crumpets?
Toast.
Marmite or jam?
Jam.
Beans or cheese?
Oh, cheese.
Whiskey or rum?
Whiskey.
Spring or summer?
Spring.
Ability to fly or be invisible?
Invisible.
Box sets or movies?
Movies.
Popcorn or pick and mix?
Popcorn.
Podcasts or Netflix?
Netflix.
Chocolate or nut butter?
What? Chocolate.
Chocolate or nut butter? You'd be surprised at how many people say nut butter.
I don't even know what that is.
Like peanut butter, almond butter, what? Cashew butter, hazelnut
butter. No, get rid of that. Chocolate. Not for me.
Talking or taste buds?
Taste buds.
That was quick fire with Kenny. What are your three kitchen essentials? These are three ingredients that knowing you have them in your kitchen make you feel more relaxed about life.
Oh, I don't think I can answer this quickly, but I'm going to say flavoured tea.
Flavoured tea?
Yeah, flavoured tea.
Like herbal tea?
Yeah, or like, yeah, all of those kind of teas. Love those. That gets
as opposed to like a black English breakfast tea.
Yeah, flavoured tea guy all the way. A fizzy drink? Any form, I just like knowing that one's there for me. Not necessarily that I'm going to drink it, but just like if I want some spice throughout my day, not actual spice, but you know, just something different. I like that. And the other thing I would say, noodles, definitely noodles, 100% noodles. I don't even know why I had to think about that. Noodles are just so easy. You can eat them at any time of the day. They're usually quick to prepare. They're probably like the most least expensive food to buy. It's just a standard way to go through life. Like, your life must include noodles. Like, that is life goals. If you want to know how to complete life, it's noodles.
I'm going to have noodles for dinner. What lifts your soul? This is our penultimate question.
For the most part, music, you know? Yeah, I feel like I kind of set my day or what I'm doing to my activity with music. So whenever I'm in the gym, I play upbeat music. Whenever I'm writing, depending on what I'm writing, sometimes I play really like depressive music. Sometimes I play jazz. Because it kind of just helps set the mood. And like, I love the script. I don't know if you know who the script are.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the script. Like, I sang my heart out. Megan bought me tickets as a surprise. And
I think I saw this on her stories.
I sang my heart out. Like, the heart boy, the boy that was like heartbroken in me was just singing and crying. I had a great time. So sometimes, like, just to get it out, like, my emotions out, I listen to the script. I love it. My roommate must hate me at times. So I'm just like singing the script at like dumb o'clock. The script has helped me through so many hard times, like passing of my mom, breakups, you know, sad times, happy moments. So definitely music. Music is like definitely the way to my soul.
Great answer. And finally, what is your last meal, starter, main, and dessert?
We can skip the starter. Nobody cares. It's fine. I'm over that.
And also, you can have drinks. I feel like you're someone who might want to add drinks to the courses.
Well, see, I'm in a sticky situation because I'm trying sobriety at the moment, but I would love a Jack and Coke. So
it's the last time. Why not?
Yeah, Jack and Coke, a meal, steak with any version of potato, whatever, chips, mash, don't care. And my dessert would be banoffee pie.
Oh, good shout.
I love banoffee pie. Like, like people that don't like banoffee pie, I'm like, something is, I don't understand your taste buds. Like, how can you not? It's just the greatest thing on this planet.
I like it as well. No, I'm into it.
Good. I'm glad. Otherwise, we'd have to cancel this podcast. How can you not like banoffee pie? No, I'm playing. It's just my thing. Love banoffee.
I'm hoping there'll be a side of cabbage as well with the main.
Do you know what? If I had to choose between cabbage or steak, I'm not going to lie, that's like probably one of my life's most difficult decisions. And I don't think I'd be able to make it. I feel like someone would have to make it for me.
Oh, I should have added that to the quickfire. Too late now. Too Kenny, late. Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I've had a great time.
Good. Me too.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed or gained something from our conversation, please do share the link with a friend or take a screenshot of the artwork and post it on your Instagram stories. It really helps me get the word of the podcast out there. Do hit the show notes for links to Kenny and his work, and I've also left you some recommended episodes if you're new to the podcast. I want to say a huge shout out to Vivo Life for sponsoring this season, and I'll see you back here next week for a brand new episode. Bye bye.
'Hold up, what was that? Boring, no flavor, that was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh, jazz up dinner with pecan crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh, let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.